Rush set it down, so the single was 45. No score first quarter. Bradford operates in the gun. Fourth and less than one from the St. Louis 2-yard line. Grant showing blitz. Takes the snap.
Wow, what a great rush. Right up the middle.
Rams fans, welcome back to What to Watch. I'm Steve Savard with my 101 ESPN colleagues and Rams radio broadcast partners DeMarco Farr and Rick Venturi, and our special guest this week is Rams General Manager Les Snead. Les, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you guys.
Hey, let's review. You're 40% of the way through your schedule here. Six games in. You have a 3-3 record. And I'm not a could've, should've guy. I'm really not. But the truth is you could be 4-2 or 5-1. And to me, that speaks to, number one, maybe how far this team has come in a short time.
I'll go to a Bill Parcells quote. You are what your record says you are. So you try not to get in the woulda, coulda, shouldas, because that's every week in this league, as you two guys know. But I think at this point in the season, you got to have a telescopic view and a microscopic view. Telescopic's more big picture, where we are, considering the last 5 years. And then also the microscopic is, hey, week to week, you're still trying to win that game.
Your team has been, the football team's been very resilient, okay? And that's not always characteristic of a team as young as you are. You entered the NFL season this year with the youngest team in the league, 17 rookies on your 53-man roster in week one. My question is, and I get this a lot from outside sources, and it's hard for me to explain. Maybe you can enlighten me. How has Jeff Fisher put his stamp on this team in such short order?
I think it starts with, there's probably so many ingredients to go into that. Number one, he has street cred with all players, and I think when you got street cred, that means you've earned it. That means they've talked to other players, they've seen it, hey, this guy puts a successful team on there. But then when he comes into the building, I've mentioned this before, he has a way and he knows how to get the results you want, but he also knows how to get the players to, you know, enjoy the process of getting those results and then believe in that process and follow him up that mountain.
His stamp is, like you said, it shows up on game day, how hard these guys play, the youngsters playing the right way. I think your stamp are the youngsters that are playing the right way. Richardson came out of nowhere. We're surprised by him. Givens getting deep. Hecker, Zuerlein, all the youngsters putting in work this year trying to help this team get better. How does that make you feel as a GM?
Well, remember this, and you said it's a we thing. Everybody, I'm a big collaborative. When you take an NFL coaching staff, personnel staff, front, there's a lot of minds with experience. I'm fortunate enough along the way, had enough experience to say, listen, because what everybody's saying, you know, listen to the wisdom they bring. So trust me, it's a lot of people working together to find those players, acquire them. And then as coach will tell you, I give the coaching staff credit because to be able to take a group of young guys, and because you're young doesn't mean you don't have talent. It's just you don't have experience. So experience usually leads to consistent production. So I give the coaching staff a heck of a credit of going, you know what, we'll take this bunch of guys, and then we'll go battle this team and actually be in the game late and say, hey, we're going to get you to the game late, and now we're going to go win it.
It seems to me, along with the young kids, there's no doubt that there's been a tremendous impact of the young talent on this team. But three guys that kind of stand out to me, Langford, Jolon Dunbar, and, of course, Finnegan. It just seems to me like they've brought a bit of an edge. Maybe I don't like the term swagger. I don't know that term. That was later than my career. But it seems like they've really brought something to us.
Yeah, let's start with a guy. Let's just – Cortland's Cortland. He's a high-dollar acquisition and deserved the money, and we knew what he was going to do when we brought him here. You take a guy like Jolon Dunbar. I was in Atlanta a lot of years, played against Jolon Dunbar. I shouldn't say I played against him. Our team played against him, and you saw him consistently make plays. Just a good, instinctive football player. Then you take the fact that, you know, we bring some of the Saints' defense here, So it's just a nice fit. You got to be able to go, hey, look, that guy fits perfectly here, and he can come help us in a role. Same with Kendall. I mean, an unsung football player. We just played the Miami Dolphins. They have a tough defense. You saw it the other day. They were tough on defense last year. He was a part of being tough. But here's a good example insight. I was in Atlanta flying back from the Senior Bowl, okay, and was about to leave Atlanta to come here. But on that flight back, I sat with Mike Nolan, who we hired as defense coordinator in Atlanta. And we're talking about the Miami Dolphins. And he says, you know who the most unsung player on our team was? Kendall Langford. So that yep. flight helped you go, you know what, let's go get this player.
That's cool.
Yeah, you're talking about defensive players right now. After six games, you sit number 5 overall in scoring defense, number 7 in total defense. And the fact is, you mentioned Dunbar and Cortland, a couple guys that play with an edge. You do play with an edge defensively, a hard-nosed physical edge. That has to please you at this point.
And I think you've heard Jeff say it many times. Hey, we're going to play this week, and we want our opponent to lose next week. And I think he truly believes that. I mean, he keeps the record. He knows what the opponent does when they get through playing us. And I think he says it a lot, and he instills that in his team. And I think you saw that when he was at Tennessee. I mean, I know absolutely. There's been a few times that we went to Tennessee as the Falcons and came out of there like, wow, what just happened to us?
Well, he ruined our season in all in training camp, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right. We sat there and watched it with our jaws hitting the floor.
We never recovered.
Let's talk here about expectations looking forward. You're about to enter a really rugged stretch. You take them one at a time. You got the Packers Sunday at the Edward Jones Dome. Then you get the Patriots in London. You get a bye week, and then you go west and take on the San Francisco 49ers. You're going to find out a lot about your football team in the next three games, aren't you?
Definitely. Those are – in this league, you I see the G's staring at me in a microscopic view. Trust me, in Atlanta, they've kind of ruined a couple of our seasons of last. So, but, hey, they're that team for a reason, and guess what? You want to go compete. You want that heavyweight fight. This is your team, and you've been boxing on this channel, and now you get the HBO shot, per se. So you really want to go play these teams and accept the challenge and play your best.
You're excited to see how your team stacks up against one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Definitely.
And one of the best football teams in the league.
Definitely. I mean, that quarterback over the last few years has got to be playing as good as any has at any one stretch of time in this league.
I think that's why we like him. He's excited. I love this. Yeah.
You're playing pretty well with three awfully good football players, Wells, Amendola, Saffold on the bench. How fast do you think you'll get them back?
Here's what I like. I don't know exactly how fast. What I do know is it's nice to know that as we start to get ready for this stretch with the teams you mentioned, and we got a bye in there that helps that, you know, you look around the league and some teams are losing some players of that caliber now, and you're like, wow, I'm actually glad that we've lost ours. We're where we at, and now they're healing up. So, and definitely looking forward to getting them back.
How important is Danny to this football team?
I think his production speaks for itself. I mean, he's made a niche for himself as really, if you want to call it, slot guy, but a weapon in an offense. Here's the bright side of where we're at is, and I always say this as a football team, you better take the thorn and make it a rose. All roses have thorns. So we lose Amendola. I think what it can do for us is now our QB, as we grow together, can go, you know what, let me spread the ball around instead of going, hey, that's my go-to guy. Because when you got a go-to guy, as coach will tell you,
that's a good point.
A defensive coach is, hey, let's take that go-to guy away in this crunch time situation and make the guy play left-handed, per se. So I think this is a good chance for our entire offense to evolve without him. And now when we get him back, hey, what are we going to do? Now he's even more of a weapon.
Les, good to see you. Thanks for the insight.
Thank you very much.
When we come back on What to Watch, we'll examine how the Rams' offense can get into the end zone against the Green Bay Packers' defense. That's next on What to Watch. Welcome back to What to Watch alongside DeMarco Farr and Rick Venturi. I'm Steve Savard. Rams and Packers at noon Sunday at the Edward Jones Dome. And let's take a look at the Rams matchup offensively against the Packers defense. And guys, 462 yards last week at Miami on the road, a season high, but not enough to show for it. Only six first half points despite having 294 yards of offense in the first half. How do you fix red zone production? How do you get more productive inside the 20s, Rick?
Well, you know, I really have always believed that there's three things that you do in the red zone. There's three approaches. There's a million things, like DeMarco says, you can do, but there's three approaches. You got to be able to run your best running plays in there, not your second best, your best running plays. And to me, that's when the Rams run the ball to the right behind Dahl and Richardson. Number two, you need a good inside option game, inside slot game, or Kendricks, somebody that's working on the middle linebacker. And then the final thing, and this is what the Rams have really lacked for a long time. I think they're getting there, but they don't have it. You've got to have that outside guy that can run the fades, the slants, because it's a three-dimensional game down there. If you don't have that guy outside, now, Quick got open. It was Quick a strange did. Play, on,
strange
the goal
play
line.
On the goal line.
And I really believe he can do this. I really believe this is his role this year. But if you don't have that outside guy, that Fitzgerald-type guy, teams will pack nine in the box and they'll stop both your running game and passing game. So I think it's going to be the emergence of one of those wide receivers. One thing Sam's doing a great job of, 2 weeks in a row, he has run the ball to uncover receivers. He hits Kendricks a week ago, great play, scrambles to his left. This week on the two-point play, he uncovers Steven Jackson.
Right.
Quarterback's feet are huge here too.
Let's talk about the Packers defense, DeMarco. Okay, one great player, as Rick says, Clay Matthews. Mm-hmm. They have a good nose tackle in B.J. Raji. They have some other parts. Charles Woodson's not the player. He's been moved to safety. Still a smart football player. The numbers are pedestrian across the board. 14th in total yards, 17th in points allowed. Is this a defense the Rams can do some business against?
Number one in sacks. That's the most important thing.
That's how they survive.
Talking about Clay Matthews, he is the master of the float and go. I mean, he'll dance off the line of scrimmage like he's not coming and all of a sudden dart to the quarterback, and they line him up everywhere. Lines up as a traditional linebacker in a 3-4 set, he goes. He lines up at outside right, outside left, and he beats absolutely everybody. Even when he's not rushing the quarterback outright, he'll spy the guy, pick the right hole, and get pressure on the quarterback. So you've got to call out where he is. You've got to know where he is on the field, or he'll absolutely kill you. But I like A.J. Hawk. I like him at linebacker. He's a consistent guy that makes a lot of plays. Reminds me a lot of James Laurinaitis. Not spectacular, but he's always around the football. And Woodson, smart guy. He may not be as explosive as he used to be, but he always seems to be in the right spot. So a lot of good parts on this defense that can hurt you.
Now let's hear what the players and coaches think about their matchup against the Packers defense.
Clay Matthews, you've seen him on tape. What are your impressions?
He's really good. You know, obviously he's a game changer. He's someone that you have to be very aware of where he lines up. When he gets going, he's tough to block. You know, we can't let him take over the game. You know, we've got to make sure that he's accounted for at all times.
And how about Woodson? I guess they're playing him safety and base downs, but still in the slot.
They're moving around. They're moving around a lot. He's hard to find. He plays a lot of spots. He obviously knows the defense very well. Been there with Dom and Coach McCarthy for a long time. Knows the defense very well. He's all over the place, so he's hard to find. But again, they got a lot of good players, and they're playing well. I think you saw the way they played Monday night against a very good offense. It'll be a great challenge for us.
Stephen, how important will the running game be this week in a sense of, you know, controlling the clock and keeping Green Bay's offense off?
It's going to be very important. You know, not only that we control the clock and convert third downs, but we also got to score touchdowns once we're in the red zone. Those guys coming in with a red hot offense, you know, the performance last week was just stellar. So we got to do a good job of helping our defense out. You know, they played pretty good all year long. We got to take some of that load off of them.
Coming up, how do you contain Aaron Rodgers, who threw six touchdown passes at Houston last week? Packers put up 42 points on the road. We'll talk about how the Rams defend a potent offense next on What to Watch. We're back on What to Watch, Rams and Packers Sunday at the Edward Jones Dome. And gentlemen, this is quite a test for the Rams defense. Then we mentioned the Rams defense come a long way. Top 10 in two major categories through 6 weeks. But this is a Packers offense that probably is the best in football. based on what we saw at Houston last week, 42 points, 6 touchdown passes by Aaron Rodgers. Now, Rick, you coached with Mike McCarthy in New Orleans. You were the defensive coordinator. He was the offensive coordinator. You know how his mind works. How is he going to attack the Rams?
Well, first of all, Mike McCarthy is what I call the vertical wing. That is the long-term, deep passing guy version of the West Coast offense. Most West Coast triangles are short. His are deep. Part of it's Rodgers, but he even did it with us back in New Orleans. He's a big inside seam guy. He's going to attack the Rams safeties like they haven't seen in a month. I think this. What he wants to do to you, I've coached those two-minute drills with him for 4 years. He wants to dictate plays with pace, no huddle, tempo, formations. You must not let him dictate it to you. You got to be aggressive, take your chances, don't let him go after it, mix your blitzes, mix your zones, do not get in a pattern, and let all chips fall where they may. Because what he wants to do is get in all those looks, make you play static, particularly take you out of your blitzes, and then go up and down the field on you. Don't let him dictate, number one, the tempo of the game.
And have a short memory, because they are going to make some plays.
Short
this
memory.
Green Bay Packers offense will make plays.
I do believe this. You're going to have coverage matchups that aren't good. They're going to make some plays. You have to win the war, not necessarily every battle. You have to reduce this game to the Rams front versus the Packers offensive line, and the Rams front will win the game.
And then you win. Yeah, and then you win. You can get there versus Aaron Rodgers. 23 sacks so far. That's twice as much as last year.
But
getting there is not the problem.
Came in one half, one
yes.
bad half at Seattle. So my question is, is it really leaky protection or
oh,
is it
yeah.
just one bad
getting
half?
Getting there
is
not the issue. Getting him down is the game. Now, this is how you get Aaron Rodgers down on sacks. Make sure you get after the football and his right arm. He's going to try to buy time to his right so he can throw that football. If you get after his right arm, he's going to tuck it, protect the football. That's when you get sacks.
Make him go left?
If you go after his body, he's going to make you miss. He's going to buy time and throw that ball downfield.
Cedric Benson's out. Is their running game pose any threat to the Rams?
Well, you know, Mike did get 99 yards last week. The best part of his running game was the no huddle, one back to Green. If Kuhn's in the game or they're in two tight ends, you can almost defend Mike by the compactness of the formation and the openness of the formation. When he's compact, you're going to get run, outside play pass. When he's open, you're going to get hummed down the middle of the field.
It's a great challenge for Rams.
It really
is it not? Time now to hear from the Rams players and coaches about how you try to defend a potent Packers offense.
Oh, man, it's a huge challenge. And that historic franchise. They have weapons everywhere. So as a defense and as a secondary, it's a challenge for us, but we look forward to it.
Well, the offense is just in sync. I mean, everybody's on the same page. Everybody's executing to perfection. They do a lot of different things, and then they do some things that are just very simple. And he knows where to go with the ball. He has a great sense of timing, and, you know, they're just very difficult to defend.
You have to focus on hopefully giving them many different looks and just trying to do what you do very well. You know, you have to try to get after them with our front four, and you have to play coverage extremely well. And, you know, being a West Coast offense, they do a lot of different looks and do the same things out of those looks. So it's really hard to get a beat on, you know, the stem of this release and the receiver or this guy lined up here. You know, there's not a lot of tendencies because they can do it with anyone. They can run the same routes with Finley, their tight end, or they could put Cobb at running back and run the ball, and they can do a lot. So you have to play your basic stuff really well, and then you have to have a few wrinkles for them. So you have to keep studying film and try to figure something out, but this is definitely a huge challenge.
Aaron Rodgers, your thoughts?
Really, really good. I mean, he's, you know, the way he played against the Texans, I mean, that was, you know, I've you know, been on teams that have gone against him before. I mean, when he's got it rolling, he's as good as there is. And they've got a tremendous system that he runs. He runs the system extremely well. All of the receivers understand it. And when they're hitting on all cylinders, I mean, it's pretty impressive to watch.
We'll talk about the keys to victory. How do you beat a Mike McCarthy team? Coming up next on What to Watch. We're back on What to Watch. Alongside DeMarco Farr and Rick Venturi, I'm Steve Savard. Right now, we're going to take a look at the keys to the game, maybe some X factors heading into the matchup against the Packers. And Rick, to me, you know the Packers' offense is potent. You know they're going to make plays. They're going to score some points. So you got to limit possessions, right? So you got some specific numbers, goals the Rams have to achieve tomorrow.
There's no doubt about it. I think, number one, Steve, you've got to dictate plays to the Packers. They try to dictate you with scheme on both sides of the ball. You can't let that happen. You have to be resilient, as you said early. They're going to make some plays, like we used to play the greatest show on turf. Hey, they're going to make them. Just win the war. Don't just worry about the battles. I think an ideal scenario here, if I had to name two keys, number one, Rams 25 to 28 first downs, 35 to 38 minutes of ball control. May not be able to make it, but perfect world, that's what you get. Number two, great red zone defense. The one thing about when you get a team down in the red zone, I always used to say you get a great team like the Packers, it's right where you want them because you've cut down the field. You've cut down the speed. Again, we used to play the greatest show on turf that way. Sure. It's now will over skill. It isn't any longer that speed and that ability beating me. So the biggest thing there, if the defense does anything, is threes rather than sevens.
Special teams, in your mind, play a big role tomorrow.
The old double thud needs to come out. You got to block a punt. Non-offensive touchdowns, I think, will help you either set your offense up on a short field or score on your own, and then control that little guy back there on punt returns, Cobb. If you let him out, you're not going to get him. You can let him go in this room, and we won't catch him. You're going to have to throw a net over him.
Crowd noise can play a factor. I know Jeff Fisher mentioned that on the Jeff Fisher Show Monday night. But here's the other thing. You know, look, Packers fans travel as well as anybody in the NFL. There will be some cheeseheads in attendance, but I know the Rams are counting on their fans at the Edward Jones Dome to make a difference and make it harder on Aaron Rodgers.
And they do. I mean, this is a great place to play, great venue, noisy place. The other thing about it, too, is, listen, the Packers just came off the game of their life.
Right.
They had two tough losses, one they shouldn't
have had. You know how hard it is to stay up at that level week after week?
They played a phenomenal game. It's scary when you watch that tape. But, you're not going to get that A game every week. It just doesn't happen.
But the crowd noise played a major factor in their loss at Seattle, and it probably can play a factor in this
game
as well.
Crank it up.
Should be fun. Always
yes,
good
sir.
To test yourself against one of the best, and we're going to get that test against the Packers. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
It's a noon kickoff Sunday at the Edward Jones Dome, Rams and Packers. You can hear all the action on the Rams flagship station, 101 ESPN. Pregame starts at 9 a.m. For Rick Venturi and DeMarco Farr, I'm Steve Savard. Thanks for tuning in to What to Watch. Enjoy the game.
An RBN production.